Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest is a longtime stand-up comedian who's coming to Zany's in Rosemont in early November. Dana Gould is having a pretty great year. New album, Mr. Funny Man, just came out. It's doing great on iTunes and Amazon, Kill Rock Stars. Also, his popular podcast, The Dana Gould Hour, continues, and you can see his work on the television with the premiere of Season 2 of Stand Against Evil on IFC. Gould is a stand-up, but he's also known for his television work. He worked for the better part of a decade as a writer and producer for The Simpsons and also the show Parks and Rec. Like I said, he's going to be on stage at Zany's Rosemont from November 2nd through the 4th. And it's my pleasure to welcome Dana Gould to The Download. Dana, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on. How are you?
I'm good. You get through Chicago a lot. I mean, obviously, in your career, you've done a lot of touring and played Zany's in other places.
I do. I recorded my second special at the Second City Theater there. With one of the wordiest titles in the history of comedy specials, We Put My Thoughts in You.
Yeah.
It was a great idea at the time. I thought it was a great idea.
Yeah, right. For you to be a stand-up and play different spaces, what do you like about playing Chicago?
I mean, Chicago's great. I have tons of friends from Chicago. The Odenkirk brothers, Bob and Bill and Jeff Garland, they're all a part of my Los Angeles friend Christmas card list. And Chicago was one of the comedy capitals of the country. It's an amazing, Second City and all the great stand-ups that have come from and gone through there. So Chicago's like going old home week. Plus, my very specific affinity with Chicago is I'm very good friends with, and I don't want to brag, and I'm not coming across like I'm better than anybody, but I'm close personal friends with Sven Gulli, and that is always a reason to come to town.
It's always a reason. That is a good brag. If you're gonna be friends with somebody,
brag.
Sven Gulli's the guy.
When I was on Sven Gulli, it was like, I've done a lot of stuff. The only stuff that really matters is when it's something that you're like, that you're into, It's like that you like. And when I was on Sven Gulli, I was like, hey, see, I'm something. I'm on Sven Gulli.
The new album, Mr. Funny Man, just came out. You've done several stand-up albums in your career. How do you evolve it when you have an hour's worth of material you go to put an album together? Or is it a little bit more themed?
Basically, they tend to be themed because that's just how I, develop material. You're at a certain point in your life and you sort of work a theme throughout your material. I'm not really a scattershot. Joke about airplanes, joke about cars, joke about subway systems. I have a sort of a theme in my act. So the album, you perfect an hour of material, about an hour of material, and then that's the once you get it sharp. And the interesting thing is you can feel it get ready, and then you can feel it like get rot. Like, there's definitely a time when, like, the time to record this is now. And this album, I've been touring, and then I was just getting ready to go to Atlanta for the summer to shoot Stand Against Evil, my show. And there was talk about, well, let's do it as a special. We'll do it on Netflix, blah, blah, blah. But all of that stuff was off like 3 months down the road because I was leaving. I was like, no, this stuff's ready to go now. And I just did it as an album.
And that's interesting to hear because I would assume that there's such a lag time when you're trying to schedule what is, a special, especially for something like HBO or Comedy Central or Netflix.
Yeah, it is. There is lag time and I didn't have it. And I was like, this stuff's not going to, by the time I take 3 months off to film the show and then go back on the road, get back up to speed, a lot of this stuff's going to be kind of meh. And I felt that I grabbed it right at the right time. I'm really, obviously I think every album I do is better than the one before because I think my writing only improves. And now I'm excited about the new batch of material. I have almost 41 seconds of new material that I'll be premiering.
You have had such a prolific career, both on stage and, of course, on television with your work writing for television and also on screen. But,
showing up where they forget to fire me.
but as a stand-up comedian, and there's always, you always find that stand-up comedians make that transition into being writers. I think about a lot of the writers that are on The Simpsons or Parks and Rec. But talk about that, because that's not that's not necessarily easy transition, because you write one way for the stage and one way for the sitcom or for television, and they're not similar except for maybe your point of view.
Well, I think it's true. What the thing that happened with me was the natural transition as you go from being a stand-up to being an actor, even though they're very different disciplines. One is about talking and one is about listening. It's also the difference between being on a date and being married. But what happened with me is I had written a couple of I had a couple of deals for pilots, and they connect you with a writer, and the writer kind of goes and watches you perform and talks to you, and then comes back with, you know, a pilot idea. There, you're a, you know, guy living with his single dad, and you own a coffee shop, and it's crap. And I just got tired of sitting with these guys and watching them write my story. And I was like, let me just do it. And I just wrote one called On Spec. I just kind of sat down and did it, and it ended up getting made. It didn't go to series, but it got made. And I found that I liked the writing process as much, if not a little bit more, than acting. And I, you know, it's a different discipline, but I really enjoyed it. And I felt that it used the muscles that I use in stand-up more. The trick is, especially when you go on a show like The Simpsons, is that you really have to be able to put your ego in a box and forget about it. You know, when you're touring and you're on the road and you're not a celebrity, but you're the show, you know? And when you're a part of a much bigger enterprise, no one cares. And deservedly so, you know, nor should they have to. And you really have to be able to put that aside and just realize that, you know, you're a part of a much bigger endeavor.
And I think about the balance as well as a performer. If you're an actor and a stand-up and a writer and you have all these things going at once, is that difficult to, obviously, you know, when the bounty's there, it's there, and that's awesome for your career, and you've had so many things going on. But is it difficult to find that balance about what material goes here and how much time you spend on the writing and getting out there and pounding the pavement for acting? Do you have to think about balance?
I do not pound the pavement for acting. I don't think of myself as an actor. I think of myself as a stand-up comedian who writes and as a writer that does some acting. But I, you know, 90% of the acting that I do is either stuff that I've written for myself that I do, mm-hmm. or things that friends, I'm doing a movie in December that a friend of mine said, "Hey, will you do this?" Sure, I'd love to. I get shot. Great, I'm in. I don't really pound the pavement for it. I work more, you know, the reason I do so many things, like even with the podcast, additionally, I also look at it as it's harder to hit a moving target. And the more fires that you have going, you become less dependent on any one thing. And there's some freedom in that I like. I'm also, I like to work, you know, so that works for me too. I like to, you know, I like to write. I like to sit down with a blank screen and create something. And to me, stand up in the podcast, although there's a lot of work involved, that's just a fun outlet. You know, I'm actually at a really exciting point now because the album did just come out, and it came out, and then I took 3 months off to do the show. So I'm putting a lot of new stuff into the act now. There are pieces from the album in the act that I think are significant that people sometimes want to hear, big contemporary things. But, you know, it's just sort of like it's like a rebuilding year for your baseball team. So I find this is a really exciting time to go out and perform and really be open to expanding, you know, your act and finding that new hour.
Yeah, and a lot of your work, it's so great. I mean, obviously in this digital age where I can type your name into YouTube and I can find clips from old shows and things that I remember and comedy routines.
I've been around so long, you can see me acting with animals that are now extinct.
The beauty of it, though, is to watch that you have been very consistent in the kind of comedy that you've done on stage. You are you a lot of jokes about yourself, a lot of jokes about relationships. I mean, even in the record, the album you just put out, you're talking about anxiety Earlier times, you're talking about marriage. Now you're talking a little bit about divorce. There's a lot in there that is when you talk about
it. Like a real beautiful journey.
Right. About putting that ego in a box, right?
Well, yeah, but it is, you know, as like I've said, like with my marriage, I don't have a lot of successes, but I have the world's most interesting failures.
That's a good thing, right?
That's sort of the angle. Yeah, well, I've always, that's just the way, you know, that's just the way I happen to write. That's just the way that I find sort of like my, the best way to do it for me.
Yeah.
Everybody develops their own style after a while. And I think that I have a hybrid of like, you know, I'm not comparing myself to these people in any way, shape or form, but I'm showing you how they influence me. Like the way Richard Pryor would talk about his self, the way George Carlin would talk about the world, and the way Albert Brooks would talk, period. I took that sort of introspection, that extrospection, and then I gave it his delivery, and that's sort of how I developed my shtick.
Yeah, that's a tremendous recipe right there. Before I let you go, the IFC show, Stand Against Evil, I'm interested because you said it's a hidden comedy and a horror show. You've been able to sort of blend genres. Is this the best representation of Dana Gould and the things that you've done in your career?
This is the best representation of the stuff that I love. Like, this is a show that I would watch if I didn't create it. And how it came about was I did a pilot that was based on the premise of what if my dad had to come and live with my wife and myself and our kids. And I've described my dad in the past quite accurately as Archie Bunker without the elegance and sophistication. So I had this idea and we shot it. The pilot shot for ABC. It did really well. Brian Dennehy played my dad. He was brilliant. Actually went to meet him in Chicago where he was performing Crap's Last Tape. The show got made, but it didn't get to series. But I saw that character worked. I saw that somebody playing that kind of character worked. And I thought, well, what if a better idea would be, what if I just did a show that he did not belong in and just put him in the middle of it?
Yeah.
You know, what kind of shows do I watch? I don't watch comedies because I'm a comedian. I don't want to go home and look at what I do all day. I watch horror shows. I'm friends with Sven Gulli. I love horror movies. I love The X-Files. I love The Night Stalker, if you remember that. So what if I write a show like that and then just put my dad in the middle of it and everybody would have to deal with him? And he was just this gruff guy that didn't, it's not that he didn't believe in this stuff. He believed in it. He just didn't care. And that was the origin of the show. It was actually quite that simple. It was just like, what if you took David Duchovny off The X-Files and replaced him with Carol O'Connor from All in the Family? But it still was The X-Files. And that was the show. And I was very, very lucky to get John McGinley from Scrubs to play the lead, play Stan.
Great.
And Janet Varney from You're the Worst is the co-star. And I was really, really happy. It did really, really well. And we get to do a second season. And it premieres November 1st.
Dana Gould is going to be at Zany's in Rosemont, November 2nd through the 4th. He's got his new album out, Mr. Funny Man, just came out. Dana, a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks so much for sharing stories and taking some time out tonight to talk to us. We appreciate it.
Oh, man, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on. I look forward to seeing you guys on Rosemont.